The holiday season is a time for many to rejoice, for hopefully many of us got a chance to laugh with friends and with family, to open presents and to rejoice. But we know that sicknesses and disease and hard times strike, sometimes especially at the holidays, but definitely through the holidays as well. I personally know of families in our community touched by suicide, those touched by sickness, those touched by illness, those touched by all sorts of different things, grieving and hurting. But I also know of people who are rejoicing because they have had a prayer answered. They have seen things start to get better. They've seen relationships brought back together that they thought were lost forever. God is still moving, and God is still working, and God is still active among us. As we pray, I'm going to begin with a few seconds of silence for you to pray silently whatever you need to pray to God. Wherever you find yourself this morning, be honest and open yourself up to the Almighty. And then I will end us in prayer together. Would you pray with me? Church is shouting hallelujah. Some among us are hurting and grieving and crying. And God, we lift those people up to you. Those who are facing difficult recoveries, who are facing a long journey of grief and loss, those who need an extra sense of your presence. God, help us to be your light, your salt, your love in their lives. But God, we remember and rejoice with those who are sensing you in answered prayers, who are finding renewed spirits and renewed hope, who are seeing firsthand your promise that you are making all things new. God, we rejoice with those, and we pray, God, that you will continue to be with them and guide them. And God, those things that we hide deep in our heart that we wouldn't even dare say aloud, God, give us the strength and the courage to give those to you as well. You already know them, and you desperately want to be in the midst of those situations. God, we love you. We thank you that even when we fail, and even when we run away, you are still constant and faithful and welcome us back. We love you. We rejoice that you have forgiven our sins. And God, we continue to ask for forgiveness for the many ways that we mess up. Help us to hear you. Help us to respond. And help us to proclaim your glorious good news. Christ is born. Thank you, Jim. All right. I have a list here. I'm not going to read all of them, but I do want a little bit of help from you. Now, this doesn't, I can go ahead and convince you, this doesn't make you Pentecostal, but I am going to ask you to raise your hand. So, if you know the song that I'm speaking of, I'll give you the artist's name and the song. If you know the song, would you raise your hand? Okay, so easy, so for example, Benny Goodman, Take a Chance on Love. Does anybody know that song? Okay, I see those hands. All right, all right. Let's see. Pat Boone, Love Letters in the Sand. Anyone? Okay, we're getting there. Ray Charles, I Can't Stop Loving You. Oh, all right, I see those hands. The Beatles, Love Me Do. Okay, the Supremes, You Can't Hurry Love. All right, let's see. The Partridge Family, I Think I Love You. All right, yeah, you know. All right, there you go. Let's see. Olivia Newton-John, I Honestly Love You. All right. The Eagles, Best of My Love. All right. Captain and Tennille, Love Will Keep Us Together. That's right. Okay. REO Speedwagon, Keep On Loving You. All right, there we go. Rolling into the 80s. Okay. Stevie Wonder, I Just Called to Say I Love You. There you are. Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do with It? All right. Let's see. And this one is for Sarah. New Kids on the Block, I'll Be Loving You Forever. There you go. There you go. New Kids on the Block was on the New Year's Eve thing, and we actually didn't stay up to watch the ball drop, but we, as we flipped, she went, ooh, New Kids on the Block. And then once it was over, she went, all right, we can go to bed now. So, yeah, let's see, who else do we have here? Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. Yes, couldn't get away from that song. Celine Dion, Because You Loved Me. And Beyonce, Crazy in Love. Anybody? All right, so what I have here, and you can see, is a list in about four-point font of all of the number one, only number one songs, singles, released in America that had the word love in them. 187 over the last 50 years. In the United Kingdom, there are another 87 or 90 to add to this list. There are a ton of different songs about love. Everything from Take a Chance on Love to You Give Love a Bad Name to Can't Stop Loving You to all sorts of different things that people say as they are singing about love, because there is no better way to get your song on the radio than to talk about love. Everybody wants to talk about love. We either want to talk about new love, talk about love that's going, talk about love that's gone wrong. If you're singing country songs, we want to sing about either the beginning, the middle, or the end of love all the time. There's a reason why, even though you can't come up with a new variety, they keep churning out romantic comedies. I mean, it's getting to the point where they are reaching as far as they possibly can to try and come up with some new idea, because people are hungry for talk about love. For the last 3.5 months, when we haven't been doing other things or snowed in, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is this list that the Apostle Paul gives us in the book of Galatians about those attitudes that God develops in your life when you let go and make room. It's not stuff that you do any more than you grow vegetables in your garden. Now, you may do the hard work actually preparing the ground, making sure that the environment is as good as you can do it, but you're not growing the pumpkin. You don't just magically make the pumpkin grow. That's God that does that. So the fruit of the Spirit, these things that are listed, are things that when we get the environment as best as we possibly can, God has promised that God will put these things in our heart. And we have talked about joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And there is one that we are missing, and it's the very first one on the list. And you've probably already guessed what it is. Love. When Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the first thing that he mentions as one of the things that comes up in your life is love. We are hardwired to look for love. We are hardwired to connect and to be in community with other people and to find those whom we can love. It is part of who we are and part of how we work. But this kind of, you give love a bad name, love will keep us together, all this kind of stuff is not what God's talking about. And I feel like I've said it every week because I've said it every week. Our idea and our definition of these words, these fruit of the Spirit, aren't deep enough. It's not complete. It's not rich enough for what God wants you to have. And there is no better example than when you talk about love. So, to get us going this morning, if you would, please turn to our text. And it is from further on in the New Testament. It is from 1 John. Don't go to the Gospel, but keep going past Hebrews and James into the book of 1 John, chapter 4. First John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. This is not something we do on our own, not something that we make happen. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is what? Love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Would you pray with me? God, help us to hear these powerful, simple, amazing words, and help us to be transformed. May your Spirit move. In Christ's name, amen. For God is love, and God shows God's love to us, not by sending us fancy presents, not by singing us a song, but by sending his own Son to die for us. I was originally going to do this sermon last week, and I did it at the house, and it was very powerful, but I figured you guys needed to hear it too. The reason that I was going to do it last week is because, well, first of all, it's kind of awkward not to end our series, but also because there is no more powerful example of self-sacrifice that we see in Jesus than in the characters of the Nativity. Think about each and every one of those characters that make up the Nativity set, and think about how they see sacrificial love in almost all of them. The wise men, who we sang about this morning, saw a star, packed up their stuff, headed out on camel, and as best anyone can guess, for years went in the direction of the star to find this king to worship. You think your trip to see your family was long? You didn't go by camel for years, not knowing who you were going to find, what you were going to encounter, who you were going to run into. Talk about sacrifice. The shepherds, We always sing about how the shepherds saw the angels, and then they came running, and they saw the baby Jesus. Now, who didn't come running with the shepherds out in the field? The sheep. What happens when boss shepherd man gets up the next morning and some of the sheep have run away because the night crew decided to take a field trip? Not good things, right? Nobody talks, that's not the fourth verse of the shepherd's hymn, right? You know, that they got canned because the sheep left. But think about it. They knew the problems and the troubles they were facing, but this was so important that they sacrificed their own desires. And you want to talk about sacrifice, let's talk about Mary and Joseph, who were respectable, good church people. They were the couple that was engaged in church, and she shows up pregnant, okay? So just have that picture in your head, and then she and he both go, no, 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 don't worry, it's from God. At which point everybody goes, good one, yeah. No, 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 the Holy Spirit impregnated. Yeah, okay, uh-huh. They gave up their good name. They gave up their good standing. They would forever be thought of in ridicule. Because think about it. Just because we know it's Jesus, just because we know what Jesus is going to do, Mary and Joseph's friends or former friends didn't. So when they get back after all this time, when they see all of these things happening, Are all of his and her former friends going, you know what, we were wrong, our bad? No. They're going, serves you right, you should have to go stay out in a barn. If you're not going to follow God, this is what you get. This is what you get. All of these characters, all of these people sacrificed as part of the bigger story. All of these people were part of something bigger than themselves and sacrificed their desires, sometimes their reputation, possibly their job, so that they could do what God was calling them to do. When we hear about sacrifice, we often get uncomfortable because you're not sure what you're going to have to give up. And I may not be super, everything may not be great in my life, but I've kind of figured it out. And if I have to give this up or give this up or give this up, I really don't know. I really am just not interested in that. I don't know how I'm going to be able to make it. I don't know what I'll do. But what we see and what we hear in our text this morning is true and complete and total sacrifice. We find the true definition of love is that when we know, when we want to look at love, we look at God. And God showed his love for us by giving up his son so that we could have eternal life. Because of our sin and the stuff we've done wrong, God gave up Jesus, his only son, so that we could have eternal life. One of the New Testament writers talks about at some times, you know, that some people, if it's a really noble cause, are willing to give their life up. You know, that you hear that every once in a while. And some people just have this sense of taking care of other people, so they'll do that. But you don't very often hear of people who are unrepentant, unforgiving, mean and nasty, being the ones who are the recipients of that love. It's always someone who we feel deserves it. But God loved us even when we didn't care a thing for him. True love, this kind of fruit of the Spirit love, is self-sacrifice, willing to give ourselves up for others. I don't know what that looks like in your world. I don't know what God may be calling you to. Maybe what you're doing is exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe you're doing all these things off quietly, like Jim sang about, you know, unnoticed on the earth. You know, the stuff you're doing is not something that we proclaim or give plaques out for. Maybe once a week you are taking food to somebody who can't get it themselves. Maybe you are mentoring a kid who is in trouble. Maybe you are taking care of your parents who have taken care of you for so many years. Maybe you are doing the self-sacrificing things already, or maybe you're not. What does God want you to sacrifice? What is God asking you to give up for somebody else? Is it money? Is it time? Is it some sort of talent and gift that you have? What does God want you to use so that others can see God's love? Sometimes when we talk about this kind of stuff, this kind of Jesus stuff, it stays up here. But it really doesn't. I mean, you think about the example, and she's not in here, so I can say it. You know, Becky gave her kidney up for somebody who she didn't know. Can you even wrap your mind around that? I mean, can you even wrap your mind around that? And when I ask her about it, every time I've ever asked her, she looks at me like I'm asking the dumbest question in the world, because she goes, it's what God told me to do. Yeah. yeah, but, you know, you want to, and she goes, no, this is what God said to do. I have a friend, and I'm going back and starting my Richmond classes again, and this is my friend who I met last year in August. He started and went through a couple classes with me, and then this past August, right before the class was going to start, he found out that his 3-year-old had stage 3 cancer. So he had to drop out. Well, we've been keeping up through Facebook and through other things, and we found out that tomorrow, when we're all starting class, she is going to be in surgery, because they're going to try and recess some of the tumor that she has. And apparently some of the tumor has wrapped around the main blood vessels of one of her kidneys. So what he is going to do is be on standby, ready to give her one of his kidneys. You wouldn't think twice about it. You'd give everything you had. God gave up his son for us. What are you willing to give up? This kind of love is not something we can do. This is fruit of the Spirit love. We carve out the space and we say, God, please bring this into my life. We don't do it so that we can have a better go of it. We don't do it so that we can have an easier life. We do it because it's what God calls us to do, to be faithful, and because there is a world that is hurting and dying and needs to know that love is not what Bon Jovi or Benny Goodman or any of these people sing. Love is God, and they need God. What does God want you to give? How can you make room for love in your life? Because that is the first and the best and the most important fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for a gift and a love so great we can't even begin to describe it. God, we know that we can't make it happen in our world, so we pray, God, that you will work through us, that we will create space in our lives for you to show up. God, we ask this so that we can help be a part of your vision to transform the world, starting with each of us. We love you, and we thank you, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We come now to our hymn of invitation, and like I do every week,